Well, bless you guys. It's going to be a great day. Already been a great day. Amen. Very, very good. It's great to have our oldest daughter here, Ashley, who some of you may not know. She got married in November 19th. Yeah, November. And that's her husband that we're learning to tolerate. And just kidding. And they've been on 5 vacations already. That's funny. Sounds like you might need to get some ministry over that, bro, that you're not getting to go. But anyway, it's good to have her here. She had been in Kansas City for the last four and a half years, and I'm glad that God had a Dallas boy here that brought her back home. So anyway, yeah. So anyway, parents, that's good things that you can pray over as your kids get. Well, God, I'd really like to have them back if they're away and bring them their spouse that's right here. So anyway, I hope that you've enjoyed the last 2 weeks that I've preached about the language of the Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit, He's the one that comes and teaches us how to love like Christ. He teaches us the language of our Father. And I really want to invite you to, Jason does a phenomenal job of getting the messages on the internet. We want to thank you for that, Jason. So many things that we just take for granted. Well, that's there. This is in place. The children's ministry and all that. Can I tell you, Candace and Coley are up here Tuesday after Tuesday setting the banqueting table for our children's ministry. And so I want to invite you, as one of the pillars of this house is honor, that you would learn to honor one another greater and greater. As husbands and wives and guys, I'm telling you, I invite you to be in one of the men's Bible study. Wednesday morning at 7 o'clock. Or Friday night, the second and fourth Friday night at 7 to 8:30. And I know I told the younger clientele, we had 5 of us here Friday night. I said, man, I promise you I'll have you in your car leaving by 8:30 because I know the younger generation, they're ready to go do stuff. Jeff and I are headed to bed about that time. So, but there's something about when a man of God looks at another man of God's eyes and calls them into their destiny. And we need those things. Because as men, we're like Adam when that first failure, he sewed fig leaves together and go hides among the trees and tries to hide. We're not trying to call out sin or do sin management. We're trying to be men of God that call one another into our destiny to see the goodness of God. I like all the songs we did, but the one deal that I would say, I've already been turned into beauty. And so have you. We've already been turned from ashes into beauty. Now, to the degree that I'm going 30-fold increase or 60-fold increase or 100-fold increase of the beauty of the Lord is up to me and my decisions, right? The Bible says that, you know, there's 30-fold increase, 60-fold increase, 100-fold increase. Can I tell you, to the degree of your breakthrough in freedom as a man or woman of God is the degree of how hungry you are? You see, if you're only getting some of God on Sunday morning when I preach, I mean, I know I'm a phenomenal preacher. Just kidding. Come on with it. Somebody shout me down. Somebody, come on, get a hanky out. But, you know, we have to eat each and every day of the Word of God. Amen? And so that's what I want to talk about today. You've already been turned from beauty, I mean, from ashes to beauty. Yeah, beauty to ashes. No, no. Phenomenal preacher, isn't he? But I did that just to use that as an example. Just kidding. Yeah, right. Oh, Jesus, help him with that lying spirit. The language of the Spirit is that you do not lie. So, but the Holy Spirit teaches us how to walk in humility as Christ. You see, when I'm talking about the language of the Spirit, it can't be, well, I know I'm a little bit better than Jeff, or I know I'm a little bit better than Pastor Mike. No, today I hope that you see the language of the Spirit is about making me like Christ. And the Holy Spirit takes us into testings and things, not in a bad way, but so that we can see the issues of our own heart. You see, Scripture says, what comes out of my mouth reveals what's in my heart. We're going to start something that we're going to be intentional, and I want every one of us. And one of the things I want to pass out these bulletins for is so that you'll know what's going on, but also that you might jot a note down, a scripture that the speaker may say. And I know there's not a whole lot of rooms for notes there, where we will continue to improve on our announcement page and everything. But starting today through all of February, I felt like this is what the Lord said to do. This is a leap year. When there's a leap year, we have an opportunity, I believe it's an invite, to leap forward in the spirit realm big time. And what I feel like we're to really monitor starting this moment until February 29th at midnight, and then starting March 1st, there's going to be a lifestyle change. And through this 31-day period, there's going to be a lifestyle change. I want you to watch and monitor your words. There were so many times I'm going to get to my message about that, of how the language of the Spirit comes and starts watching and monitoring your words. Last week I talked about the 20-minute time, that whether you hear good news or bad news, you take 20 minutes to spend with God to get His emotional input of the situation. How many like that principle? Jason's already told me he's going to steal it, and he's already calling it the 120 principle. I said, bro, just because you put a new name to it doesn't make it yours, but he's already headed that way. .com, there you go. So steal it. I steal other people's deal and make that revelation that they have mine. And so the deal is, I really believe it's a time and a season where God wants to monitor our words. He always monitors our words. We need to learn to monitor our words. Remember last week I talked about how so many of us are cursing our destiny because we speak so much unbelief, because we're not taking 20 minutes to get the mind of the Lord in certain situations. So we're like Proverbs 29:10, a fool vents his emotions. I'm tired of being a fool. How about you? We want to be a fool for Christ, right? Amen? Amen. Come on. So the Holy Spirit teaches us how to walk in the peace of Christ. Remember the boat rides that Jesus would be on? The disciples would be all scared to death. And Jesus is resting in His Father's arms because He's walking in the language of the Holy Spirit. Remember we talked about last week, the kingdom of God is within you. In Luke it says that. It says in Romans 8 that the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives and dwells within you. So He comes and teaches us His peace. He comes and teaches us how to love. He comes and teaches us how to walk in humility. And here's the next step that I feel the language of the Holy Spirit wants to teach you and I, is to watch our words. You and I have the opportunity and privilege to speak blessings over one another. That first blessing starts when I get the opportunity to bless my wife, to bless my children, to bless you, to bless your family. The language of the Holy Spirit wants to teach us how to truly bless, and that there would be transformation really, really happen. So I want to invite you to write on your notes, starting this moment right now, God, make me aware of my words. Whether I'm speaking words from the tree of knowledge, the tree of good and evil, that are full of doubt and unbelief, judgment, criticism, whatever you want to add to that, fear, shame, or am I speaking from the tree of life? He's good, I'm joyful, I'm peaceful, I'm full of love, all of that. Amen? It's going to be fun. He teaches us how to walk in the joy of the Lord. He teaches us how to be a friend, how to be a husband, how to be a wife, how to be an employee, how to be an employer. The Holy Spirit can teach us everything. He can teach you how to do excellent at work and how to get promoted at work. The Holy Spirit in the Old Testament taught Joseph how to be successful in Potiphar's house. He taught him how to be successful in a prison. That's Old Testament. Hebrews says you and I have a better covenant. So if the Holy Spirit could promote Joseph in prisons, in Potiphar's house, even when the Potiphar's wife wants to say or accuse him of rape, God took care of everything. So many times we're trying to defend ourselves instead of allowing God to defend us. You need to really catch that principle right there. Joseph didn't try to defend himself. God covered his bacon. And God will cover you and I if we're in the pursuit of him. You think about it, man. The Holy Spirit, again, Genesis, you and I live in a better covenant. And Joseph gets promoted all the way to vice president of Egypt. That's better than Al Gore when he was vice president. And other vice presidents of that. So anyway, amen. So I'm going to paint a backdrop real quick, and we're going to go over some scriptures. Turn to John 16, 5 through 15. We're going to read. As you're turning there, I'm going to tell a story. In Genesis 32, there's a night that comes where Jacob wrestles with God. You see, and in the end of that story is he wrestles with God all night long. He's crying out for a breakthrough, and he says, I'm not letting you go, God, until you bless me. You see, he was tired of his life. And as Rhett ministered the word, some of us are frustrated right here. Now listen to the fruit of your frustration. There's been some things go on in your life you're frustrated about because you've made the choices that has gotten you to that spiritual address. See, I love that Proverbs that says, man makes choices, but then blames God because of where he's at. Why do we do that? I want to invite you that if you're where you're at right now, God didn't put you in that pit. Your choices have put you in that pit. But man, do I have a good word for you. God takes us from the pit and makes us vice presidents. Come on, man, that really ought to get our juices flowing. That is acceleration. Yeah, thank you, Leslie, for believing it, and Jeff and Rhett. Some of you, the rest of you, jump in there and believe this thing. God's message is so amazing. He takes us from pits and puts us in places of influence. Amen? Come on with it. There you go. Come on. So here's Jacob this one night. He's tired of how he deceived his brother to get a birthright. If you know the story, walk back with me a little bit. He's tired of how he lied and cheated and to get his father-in-law's best sheep and everything. There was a lot of frustrations up to this point that night, and now he thinks that Esau, he's got a report that Esau's riding with 400 men on their camels. Bebopping along to come kill him, he thinks. And in the midst of his frustration, here's my question for those who stood up in their frustration. Are you pursuing to wrestle with God for your breakthrough? Is that place of hunger, is that position that you find yourself, are you being propelled in hunger for your breakthrough? We would if we really know that Daddy's a good daddy and wants to bless us. He's not angry. Some of us act like God's angry. God's not angry at a moment in this New Testament living at all. So as Jacob wrestles with God, God says, okay, I'll bless you. Touches him. And it says that Jacob walks with a limp for the rest of his life. Do you know the one, probably all of us, we have a limp, whether it be with fear, whether it be a shame, whether it be a something. And the Holy Spirit wants to touch you today and heal you with a redemptive limp. He wants to touch every one of us and heal us with a redemptive limp because of what Christ did at the cross. Amen? So I'm going to go quickly. John, let me turn there. I told you to turn there, and I hadn't turned there yet. Remember, I've told you how good this news is. It's amazing. It's life-giving. We ought to be wanting to read it every day. The Holy Spirit wants to highlight the Scriptures into us. And that's where I'm going to take us in a journey here in a minute. John 16, verse 5. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Frustration has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, But if I depart, I'm going to send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and see you no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. Did it say some truth or all truth? He will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you of things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. In John 15, as you turn just a page back, as he talks about pruning, he says that the message comes to prune. So when you get saved and your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that's just the beginning of it. But there's an active seed that comes in you and it starts moving around. And when you see the devastations of tsunamis in the natural, this seed starts gathering momentum every day of our life to be a tsunami to bring freedom to every one of us. Okay, now let's turn to Proverbs. Are you a believer? You a Christian? You saved today? If not, I'm going to give you a great opportunity to get this seed of destiny in you. Because it starts moving and it starts breaking up wrong attitudes. It starts breaking up judgments. It starts truly teaching us how to love the language of the Spirit. It starts teaching me how to prefer my wife and to speak blessings over her. It starts teaching me how to walk in humility. It starts teaching me how to bless the police department that I love dearly in Carrollton and have the privilege to be the chaplain, volunteer chaplain to the city that I live in. This seed starts teaching you to quit thinking so much about you and to think about blessing others. Here's a question for every one of us. Do you spend more time thinking about you than you do others? No wonder some of you may be frustrated. If you dwell all of your time and energy about you and your situation, I would be frustrated. Right? Come on, man. Don't shut me down. Proverbs has probably been the most instrumental book in my life of being that seed that cuts off generational curses in my innermost being. Like I told you, my dad should have been a pastor, but he allowed fear to keep him from stepping into that position. Many of us are not allowing that winnowing, two-edged sword, as it says in Hebrews 4:12, that separates to the bone and marrow, separates to the joint. It starts moving in us and removing wrong emotions. It starts moving up here to remove stinking thinking. What's one of the main things I stay after you about? Are you reading the Word? 20 years ago, I read this Word that I'm about to read you. Proverbs 13:22. A good father leaves an inheritance to his children's children. You see, I had an unredeemed limp in me, like I told you earlier, that we all carry some unredeemed limps. And when I read this scripture, and this was literally about 20 years ago, I have read the proverb of the day for almost the last 20 years. And as I read it, I realized that my father, who was a great man, loved the Lord, was a first-generation Christian. I remember Brother Devin coming over to our house in Hereford when I was 5 or 6 years old and my dad getting saved. I'm a second-generation Christian. So I want you to realize I'm not bashing my dad. Man, he stepped in to believe in God and started breaking off generational curses were amazing. where he built it up, where I got to stand on a higher platform, and C and I are choosing to try to live a life that allows our children and our grandchildren to step up on higher platforms. But when I read this scripture, I realized that when my dad passed away, this is what was left of my inheritance. Now, please hear what I'm going to tell you. When I've shared this before, I've always had good Christians come up and tell me, well, you know, you're leaving a spiritual inheritance to your children. I know that. But I had a limp. And it was a bruising and a fire that it says in Jeremiah, the word of God is like a hammer, and it comes and sets a fire in our spirit alive. There was something in me that God used this word to activate. I will not live in poverty. And it will not, the word started dealing with poverty issues and poverty things that my mom spoke, and I've shared that before. Well, we're middle class. We'll always be middle class. I'm not trying to be in Mitt Romney's category or any of those people. But if God wants to bless me that way, Lord, that's okay. But God was changing my thought life. He was getting me to think about my future generations. He was getting me to quit thinking about me. And when we read the Word and the Holy Spirit becomes that flashlight, it becomes where it separates to the bone and marrow into the deep inner joints of our life. I started praying and believing that this could be something that we would be able to leave a financial inheritance to our children. And so for the last 20 years, the Spirit of God had been using the Word of God. This had been a bruise, a good bruise to my heart. And I got to be honest with you. We will leave an inheritance to our children and our children's children. You see what another point of this thing that I want you to realize? The Word of God is perpetual, and it builds with momentum and a tsunami like I shared earlier. I have seen God do unbelievable financial blessings to Celia and I ever since I wrestled with God in that, like I shared a couple of weeks ago, in Cambodia. Go, God, I can't leave Sojourn. I have guaranteed income there. And God goes, do you trust me and do you believe that I could do blank, 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 blank to bless you? Not blank, blank, blank of cuss words. I forget of the group that I'm talking to here, certain ones. Come on, amen. See, that's when I get the shoutest amens on that right there. And so the Holy Spirit starts using that word to be perpetual in my own heart. There's a race between Corey and Ty and Ashley and Aaron to give us grandchildren now. I don't think it's much of a race, actually. It's no race right now. We're praying hard. We're praying for the race to get initiated. Yeah, thank you, thank you. But you see, what the Scripture wants to do with the Holy Spirit is get us to think about blessing future generations. Did you know part of my prayer time? Do you know I'm already blessing the Smithwick's kids? I mean, Hannah's children, and I'm doing that to the Welches. I'm doing that with every one of you. There has got to be something released in us that we bless blessings over Pat and Judy, and that we bless over our cities. What would happen to my life if I started thinking about Christ and others, which I believe is a major factor of the language of the Holy Spirit, if I spent 98% of my life looking to bless the Lord first and bless others instead of it being about me? So you talk about order. The Holy Spirit starts being that seed in me. I know many of you do not know Larry Burkett, but he was the one of Crown Financial Ministries years ago. And when I first got saved and this scripture started coming into my life, we went through Larry Burkett's Crown Ministry stuff. And you see, then God used that to hand off, in my opinion, Dave Ramsey, who I'm a big fan of Dave, that I went through his material 10 years ago, and we upped our giving, we upped our living to get debt free and to see this scripture come to pass. You see, too many of us treat God like he's Santa Claus and money's just going to rain down out of heaven and be given to us when we haven't gotten our character in order. See, God is a God of stewardship, and when you start getting your financial stuff or whatever the issue is in order, he can open up the floodgates and bless you. I'm going to be very, very personal here. Along that 20 years, I had some hiccups in credit cards. 10 years ago when I did the Dave Ramsey deal. And please hear what I'm sharing. Don't take it as condemnation to your life. Do what God tells you to do. But 10 years ago when I did it, I knew that there was a $5,700 credit card that I had defaulted on that God breathed. And he says, you make it right. There was a $2,500 credit card that I had defaulted on. And when God told me to do that and to make it right, I can tell you today that we went back when we started letting the order. Because you see, if Proverbs 13 was going to come to pass, Mike needed to get order right, because God is a God of government. And I went back, and when we started getting money in our savings account, not knowing our daughter was going to get married 2 months ago, we were being active of putting that money aside. And we went and made right on both of those debts that were 10 plus years ago. You see, God's just looking for a heart that will turn to his scripture. So, number one, don't do credit cards unless you pay it off every month. And if what I just shared, take my testimony of how God can use a miracle. And it manifested 10 years ago because it became living in my heart. It may have not manifested until these last few years when I paid and made it right. And can I tell you, I truly believe it, that is one of the reasons God has opened up the storehouses of heaven and blessed us, in my opinion. Amen? So God is a God of order. That's what the scripture says. The Holy Spirit's language is he comes and convicts. Last scripture that I want to talk about, and then we're going to close, is Proverbs 12:18. There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. We've been in ministry now for 21 years, full-time ministry. And I've realized, you see, that's the reason I want you to listen to your words. I realized that even when I spoke with passion, but there was criticalness and fault-finding and judgment in my speech, even when I preached. And when I would go home and see, can attest to this, I would tell her, I said, man, there's just something not right. There's something, my words are piercing like a sword. And you see, not only was it in my message, but my words at times could be piercing like a sword to my wife. And when I would get in stressful situations, when my children were little, my words would be like the piercing of a sword. Are your words like the piercing of a sword to people? That's, again, 15 to 18 years ago, I'm reading this scripture and the Holy Spirit shines within the bone and the marrow and the joints of my heart and my issues. And it was all about wounds and hurts years ago, like I've shared in the past also. It was about Daddy really wanting to heal the heart of a brokenhearted pastor and a brokenhearted husband and a brokenhearted father. You see, when the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, sin is only the fact that you're missing the glory, the love of the Father. It's not about that you're doing a bunch of things wrong. We see sin incorrectly. When the Holy Spirit convicts me, he goes, Mike, I want to teach you how to love so that you can truly love and speak blessings over your wife and children. And I can tell you today, I may preach with passion, but in my opinion, it's not a piercing of a sword that wounds you and tries to get you to do things by more work and duty to be a good Christian so that Daddy will love you. It's about you truly knowing your love today, no matter by your performance. You see, one of the main things, again, not to get you to do a work, the reason I want you to read the Bible because I know the Holy Spirit's going to do for you what He does for me for the last 25 years. He just shines that little spotlight into the deep recesses of our life. And not because He's angry, but because He wants to touch us with some new depths of the Father's glory. So here again, we started 30 minutes ago. We're going to leap forward as a body. Because you see, I believe as we get our words in order, we'll truly be able to speak to mountains of diseases, and they will have to go. You see, James says, how can you bless a brother and curse a sister? How can you have fresh water coming out of you one moment and then cursings the next? Can I tell you, your tongue and your heart are attached together. It says in Matthew that what comes out of your mouth reveals what's in your heart. God wasn't angry at me when He was letting me see that I was like a piercing sword, cutting people. If I had a sword right now, would you want me to just come up and stab you? That wouldn't be fun. That old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Man, who wrote that and who came up with that? Our words have death, and it curses our destiny. I believe, and this is where we're headed, the language of the Spirit. I believe that this will be a body, and there's a bride that's going to rise up, will be able to speak to diseases, and they'll leave because God's consumed the fullness of our heart. And when He consumes the fullness of our heart, what comes out of our mouth is nothing but life. In closing, it's only 11:20, man. It's the earliest you're going to get out since we started Hope Fellowship. Yeah, this is, somebody just said, yeah, it's just his first close. Well, hold on, maybe 15 more minutes. I heard that, whoever that. Remember, we're watching our words over here. Just kidding. Your words and heart come in agreement. And that's what we'll be talking about in the days ahead through the year. Have you ever done a study on about agreement? You can come in agreement with God's words for breakthrough. Or you can come in agreement with the kingdom of darkness to release death. This next 31 days, let the Holy Spirit reveal what's in your heart. Are you a piercing sword? And what does He want to change? And can I tell you, this is what was always so cool about God. He puts those grace growers in our life, those people that agitate us. And when you don't get it right the first time and you might change jobs, can I tell you there's going to be that person that does it. And it's never about that person. It's always about what God's wanting to reveal in your heart. Amen? For you spouses who find fault with your spouse, can I tell you, it's not about your spouse. It's about you. And it's about what God's wanting to reveal in your heart. If we'll learn to bless and speak life. Amen? Let me pray. God's good. All the time, all the time, all the time. God, I thank You, Lord, just as we shared a couple of weeks ago, Your message is so good. You took murderers and made them deliverers of Your children out of Egypt. Your message is so good. You took prostitute Rahab and put her in the lineage line of Christ. You're amazing. You took a man like me who could be a piercing sword to people and made it to where my words are full of life and promote health, as it says in the rest of that scripture. Lord, deal with our hearts, because the words are only the fruit of heart conditions. Our words are only the fruit of our heart condition. I thank You, Lord, that You love to take us on a 20-year journey, just like I shared about our finances. I thank You, Lord, that You deal with those things because You're a good daddy. And You do it with a gentle scalpel. You do it with tremendous mercy and grace and wisdom. And so, Lord, we love You that Your good message is what prunes us, as it says in John 15. Lord, I speak your blessings over these precious people. Lord, let us leap forward over these next 31 days. Holy Spirit, let us learn to watch and listen to our words and then go, Holy Spirit, why does that come out? What is wounded within me? And Lord, I got to be honest with you. I don't think I went to anybody for prayer. I allowed your Holy Spirit to bring healing to my life. I thank you, Lord, that your word is what sets us free, as it says in John. And Lord, if any of us need prayer, let us line up for that. But Lord, I also know your word is will bring liberty and victory. So we love you and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.